Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by his name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome again to Skies Revival Radio. We're so glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family. Today we're going to read a short passage where we find a great indictment of our new gospel of self that is so popular today. In fact, it runs so contrary to the teachings of our day that we must necessarily avoid this portion of the gospel if we're going to keep on in the direction we're going. But I recommend looking straight into the old-fashioned gospel and embracing whatever we find there, and then adjusting what we believe and what we want to believe by what we find there. This is the safe ground. This is when we will find no unpleasant surprises when we meet the Lord. I can't stress how important it is to take God's word for what it says. We are warned that many will say, "Lord, Lord," on that day, and he will say, "Depart from me, I don't even know you." It is very easy to be deceived. Almost all of us are deceived by our own reasoning and by our own desire for an easier way. The only safe place is to keep going back to the Gospels, to read them for yourself. And that's why we stress this over and over again. Go back to the Gospels, read the Gospels for yourself, and you'll find many things that are contrary to so much of the things that we take for granted today. Now, on to the passage. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, 38, and 39, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it." Here we find that Jesus is breaking all the rules. He's not saying things that are prudent. There's no sweet talk here. How can he expect to start a worldwide church if he's going to make such inflammatory statements? Instead of promising his followers all manner of earthly blessing, prosperity, and honor, he's telling them that they can expect to be hated and persecuted. How can he get followers that way? And why would he do such a thing? Good question. Why would he do such a thing? He did it very intentionally. Simple. He wants to find out who actually loves him. If he promised all the world to his followers and the fulfillment of all their dreams, well, everyone would become a Christian. Why wouldn't they? And if you presented such a gospel to the world, everyone would want to join up. Everyone, everywhere, wants their dreams to come true. And that's why this is such a popular gospel. But then, would God have a kingdom full of people who love him? Or just love what he can do for them and what he can give them? Well, that's why people sell their soul to the devil, because of what he can give them, what he promises them. But they certainly have no love for him. Well, God didn't want to do it that way. He wanted a kingdom of people who really, truly love him for who he is. And the way to achieve that is very easy. Just make the way difficult and contrary to those very dreams and passions that we have, and we'll find out who really loves God and who really just loves the world and what God can do for them. So Jesus gives us this word. He says, if you follow me, everyone will hate you, even those of your own family. You'll be vilified, criticized, scorned, and belittled. And you might think that that really doesn't happen here today in this country. If so, I want you to try a little experiment. Set apart a week, just 1 week, to seek God earnestly with all your heart. Set apart an hour for Jesus to read his word and to pray. Read the Beatitudes. Try to put them into practice. And then watch what happens. You'll be amazed. You're doing nothing but seeking the Lord privately, and yet suddenly everyone will start to be concerned about you. They'll be telling you that you're getting fanatical. Or do what Dave Wilkerson did. Give up your TV time to spend it with God and see what happens. As David said, you'll get the left hand of fellowship real quick. You'll be accused of being legalistic just for wanting to make time for Jesus. So you have to be determined. Christianity is not for wimps. But God allows this persecution to come in so that it can expose the motives of our hearts. It's so God can determine where our hearts really are, so that his kingdom isn't filled with people who have no love for him. Persecution divides us. Under persecution, those who seek the Lord have to do so when it's difficult, painful, not easy, and contrary to our fleshly desires. And the way to overcome when we are confronted with these hard things, when we are criticized and hated by all, when we are living in difficult circumstances, is this: by the love of God. It is by truly loving him. It's by learning who God is and seeking him for himself, seeing the beauty of his character and saying, this is a God worthy of serving no matter what. And that's why we spend so much time directing people to find out who God really is. When we begin to find out who God really is, we start to truly love him. He is not a concept. He is not a force. He is not a theological structure. He is a person. The person of Jesus is awesome. He is a God worth serving and worth dying for. Not for our own gain, not for our own comfort or pleasure or what he can give us, but because he is a God so worthy that we want to serve him no matter what the personal cost. This goes back again to the verse in Matthew 7 where he says, depart from me, I don't know you. He was addressing those who were seeking him for miracles, for the attention, and because it was the new cool thing. They didn't love him because of who he is, but because of the miracles and the trappings. It is similar to today, where it can be cool to be a Christian kid in a youth group, and if we are caught up in all the trappings and the activities, we can go forever and not actually ever really meet the Lord. We're just part of a cool youth group. Or if we're older, we can be just part of the successful Christian money crowd. We're caught up with all these things. Or if, as a church, we offer all the things of the world as part of the Christian package, well, then everyone jumps right in because they're excited about these things. But this has absolutely nothing to do with coming to meet the living God. All you have to do to find out who has really met the Lord and who is just going along with the crowd, who is just excited about all the trappings of Christianity or the promises of prosperity or because it's cool, all you have to do to find out who really loves God is take one of those cool Christians and put them in a ringer and squeeze them a little and find out if suddenly they're gone. If they are, it's because there's really no love for God. So put a little pressure or pain on them and their world crumbles. Then we're forced to make a decision to abandon the Lord and forsake him, or pick up the cross and follow him. Anyone who doesn't pick up his cross to follow him is not worthy of him. So it comes down to this: if we turn to God more and more as we are crushed, we will begin to grow in love with Him personally. And when we do, these trials start to become insignificant. Who cares if I've lost everything? I have gained Christ. Study the Word to see what He really looks like, and you'll find He's astounding. His character is spotlessly pure. His motives are always for our good. His glory is His humility. This is a general we can be proud to serve. The greatest commandment is to love God. As we go in that direction, everything begins to make sense. Now we start to become Christians in truth. We are Christians because we love Christ, not because He promised all these things, not because it's cool, not because it's financially secure, but because we actually love Him. When this happens, He will say, "Enter in, my beloved. We are truly His now." So He pours out all these troubles so that we will run to Him, so that we will find out who He really is. And He always provides a place of refuge during these times of difficulty and persecution. He calms us. He soothes us. He gives us the oil of gladness, streams in the desert, all for just learning who God really is, a person who is lovely. So these persecutions are not only for our sake and for our good, but also for our glory. This is what God will use to put a crown on each head that follows after Him. If we served Him and everything was rosy and fun and nice, how is that loving God? But when He looks down and He sees His children loving Him in spite of great trouble, in spite of great difficulty, opposition, persecution, slander, this pleases Him. And this is something He uses to fashion into a glorious crown that He will display forever. It is serving Him under pain that is pure love. That pure love will be the crown. It makes us His beloved children who serve simply because they love Him. That is our glory. So this persecution, this opposition, is not something to shrink from or be afraid of or to avoid, but rather something to embrace. The cross is the attraction. As we embrace the cross, it becomes a sweet pleasure. And this is why Jesus tells us in Luke to rejoice and leap for joy when you encounter opposition and persecution and slander. Leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. We should be leaping that we are counted worthy of Him. So these trials are not something that should make us fret and worry and try to avoid. These are the very things that are proving our love for Jesus, and it can only be done on earth where we have this kind of trouble. So this right now, today, is our opportunity to show God that we are going to follow Him no matter what, no matter what the cost, because we really love Him. This is our time to prove our love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to You right now and we ask Your forgiveness for being so wimpy and for complaining so often, and complaining when difficult things come upon us, when the truth is, You allow these things to come for our own good, so that we might truly get to know you and begin to love you with all of our heart. Please forgive us for complaining so often and help us to embrace these trials and to rejoice in them and to get to know you better in the midst of our trials, that we might prove our love. And Lord, I pray for each one who is listening today, Lord, that you might strengthen them to pick up the cross to follow Jesus. And we know dark times are coming, and we are going to need to be able to embrace that cross. And the comfortable world that we know may not be anymore, and we will need to know how to pick up the cross and follow you. So I pray that you'd strengthen each person and that you'd uphold each person and help each one to learn to pick up the cross, to get to know you and to serve you because of pure love for you. Thank you so much for your words to us in Matthew. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly throughout Northeastern U.S. and Canada, as well as all across the country on our Sky Family mailing list and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.